We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
The crew of GR, the morning show. Send them to the middle of the sun so they don't come back.
Howard Simon.
He is a bum. B-U-M, exclamation point, exclamation point. Hold the key down on the computer. He's a bum. And so's
Jeremy White.
Jeremy's a very good person, and really that's all I'm going to say at this point. Really don't want to get into the other parts of it. Just want to keep that between us.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I never thought about that before. He was kind of close to the vest. I don't know why Sean McDermott didn't want to talk a little bit more about you. I almost wonder if he didn't want to say anything bad.
He just said, good person. We're just going to keep that. We're just going to keep that between and leave it there.
But he didn't really expand on that.
Not too many people can when it comes to me. I'm an enigma.
Wrapped in
a riddle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wrapped in...
Is it an enigma wrapped in a riddle? Something's wrapped in the other.
Yeah. That's how...
You're that.
You don't even know what it is. It's how...
No,
well,
that's how...
It's wrapped well.
Thank you very much. Hey, before we get started on sports, just a heads up. There's a significant rainfall, I don't know, watch, warning, message, event till 11:45 this morning for most of us.
Yeah.
I take that for what it's worth.
Okay.
So everybody in my neighborhood, stay out of my backyard for the next 2 days unless you bring a rowboat. Okay. Is there a trade yet?
No, but can I tell you?
Today's the day when I woke up and I thought, okay, now it's time. I was good through the whole week. And I woke up this morning saying, I need something now. Before 7 o'clock tomorrow, before 7 o'clock tomorrow, preferably in time for us to talk about it on the show today or tomorrow.
Yeah, it's not going to be fun when the trades go down on Friday evening or Saturday morning and we're waiting until Monday to get, our fresh hot takes in on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Our piping hot, spicy takes. Yeah, I'd like how about a rumor?
I'll be at a concert Friday night at Batavia Downs. I'll just keep checking Twitter or just text me if anything happens.
Foreigner. Let me guess. No. Journey.
No.
Belinda Carlisle.
You're not going to guess it.
It's a country act.
No.
Eric Church.
No, I'm trying to think of some of their songs. I may only know one or two songs.
Bob Seger.
Hang on a second.
Yanni.
If I give you the song, it'll give it away.
One hit wonders? Okay.
No, but there's one song that they think they're known more for than. That's the one song I know them for.
38 Special.
No. I don't even know how to give you a clue.
Laurel.
Who's Laurel?
Jeremy said Yanni. I think it's
Laurel. Oh, right. I've heard of Yanni. Isn't there a Yanni? No, there's a. Oh, I forgot it. Actually, I guess. Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, Survivor.
Yeah. That might be the only Survivor.
No. Burning Heart.
Burning Heart, Search is Over? Do
Search
I know that
is
one?
Over,
high,
you do.
Oh, High on You. I know that one, right?
The entire Rocky,
I can't hold back.
Rocky IV soundtrack is
Survivor. All right, so
Survivor.
I know like four or five songs.
The Search is Over. There's another one.
Burning Heart's on the soundtrack, right? It says here
Two
Burning
Two Worlds
Heart.
Collide, Rival Nations. It's East Against West.
Yeah. Well, so there you go. I know
that's Burning Heart.
A few songs. So Survivor.
Burning Heart. What a song. They're at Batavia?
Yeah.
That's Friday night, huh?
Tomorrow night. Yeah. Me and the missus. And we know the act opening before them. My wife is friends with the band. We always like seeing them play. So we're going out for both.
Survivor.
And if I have to kind of step out and go into Thurman's Bar, which is a sports bar that might have, say, the NHL draft on, I might just quietly step out and go check out what's going on in the hockey draft.
Yeah. It doesn't help, by the way. You're saying you want to trade now. It doesn't help when you see the only Sabres headlines are that they qualify Gergensen's, Larson.
I was pretty excited about that.
Yeah, which of course you have to do. Right. You're not just going to let them get away for free. Right. The last time they had a player of significance that they did not qualify would have been...
Robin Lehner.
Robin Lehner.
Yeah.
Who did not win the Vezina but won the Masterton Trophy last night.
Yeah, and I didn't... I watched the beginning of the awards. I actually basically only made it through the Calder Trophy. And then I kind of turned off. But I understand we're going to play his speech back at some point, I guess, because there's a
tremendous.
Lot of stuff about how great it was in his talk about, you know, mental illness and being able to come out and talk about it and help others.
Yeah.
He won the Masterton, which is for perseverance, sportsmanship, things like that,
right? He is, I don't want to say he's like the face of mental health, but sure, He said on stage, "I'm not ashamed to say I'm mentally ill, but that doesn't mean I'm mentally weak."
Right.
So, you know, the NHL, whether it's the Bell Let's Talk or a lot of different avenues with mental health, and a lot of professional sports leagues try to get into that a little bit more. So, you know, I think a lot of people are pretty happy for Robin Leonard.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? I mean, you know, look, you can certainly separate, like, I know he didn't particularly play well, but he was going through a lot of issues. He had some demons. He was dealing with substance abuse, which he admitted that he hid from everybody in Buffalo, hid from his teammates, hid from the organization. I mean, obviously, you know, him getting healthy and being of sound mind and body, so to speak, is, you know, much more important than what his goals against average or what he did in shootouts around here.
Yeah.
You can easily separate the two. So I was happy to see him and Oposo, for that matter. Oposo went through some rough stages too, and you like to see these guys be able to come out of that darkness and recover from it. So
sure.
Good for them, of course.
Yes, and you know, it's tough. Ryan O'Reilly, you could say about this as well. I mean, I'm not going to put it all the way to mental health and maybe issues of that gravity or magnitude, mm-hmm. but listening back to that postseason press conference where he said he lost his love of the game, he was talking about how it was a struggle for him internally. Losing, when you define yourself as a professional athlete and you win all the time and all of a sudden you become nothing but a loser, it probably is very difficult mentally.
Well, I think that's part of the discussion that we, you know, Ristolainen comes up in that. And you can throw maybe Eichel, Reinhardt, all these young guys that have been here, what have they known? Losing. Coach is getting fired. You know, Darlene's first year, what does he know? Hey, 10-game win streak and then total collapse. Eichel's only been around losing hockey here. You know, he wasn't in his 1 year at BU, and he hasn't been around losing hockey in international hockey. He comes here, and they can't make the playoffs. So yeah. I think it's got to wear on a guy after a while.
And, you know, any of those issues you have could, of course, be there on a winning team. Mm-hmm. They're very much separate, but I would imagine that it doesn't make it any easier.
Yeah.
Even if you are, you know, feeling great personally, a job. How many people get beaten down by their job, you know?
Not us.
Right.
I don't know. Are you pointing to anybody in particular? Whatever. It's just talking about sports. It's not in the big scheme of things. It's, you know, it's not all that bad.
So good for Leonard. How about the idea of Mark Giordano wins his first Norris Trophy?
Yeah.
How old is Mark Giordano?
31.
35.
Yeah.
35
years
old.
Well, you know what they say, hockey life begins at 35.
Yeah, right. I was just thinking about that in the context of, you know, all these big contracts and, at age such and such, that's going to look like a bad deal. And, you know, you're supposed to diminish over time. And, you know, I'm not about to sit here and say that a 35-year-old is going to win every single Norris Trophy, but it's quite an accomplishment for him.
Is this your way of saying don't give up on Ristolainen and he's only 24?
Well, maybe by... No, I don't say that. That's too snarky. We're having a real conversation and I don't want to be mean.
No, I was thinking about, you know, how a defenseman grows into that position and, you know, he's got 400-plus games. And I think, you know, with him, we always talk about, is he going to change? I mean, is 424 NHL games, do you know who you are? And I think about what... who would it have been? Nick Kiprios, right? Yesterday was Nick. We've had so many different guests this week. Kiprios was the one who said something about how the Ristolainen and trade talks slowed a little bit when Kruger came on board, because maybe there's a thought process that Kruger could help Rasmus Ristolainen's game, provide some structure to the Buffalo Sabres, which would trickle down, improve Rasmus Ristolainen's game. And, you know, Craig Button talked about Ristolainen. The guys we have on the show talking about Ristolainen seem to talk about how he would be valued around the NHL. And then back here, it gets the discussion of, you know, why do we talk about trading the guy if people think he's that good?
Oh,
so
that's right. That reminds me. I was going to make a flow chart on that.
Yeah. Okay. Here's why you would trade him.
Here's how it works. I want a good player.
Yeah.
That arrow two. Okay, you're going to have to trade something.
Exactly.
Arrow two. Okay, that's a good player. Arrow two. Does anybody think that player's good? Yes. Arrow two. Why would you trade him? Arrow two. I want a good player. And you just keep going around that circle all the time.
That's why the Ristolainen debate, it's interesting. You know, I've been getting a series of tweets because we're talking about Rasmus every day about why would you guys want to trade him? I don't think he's a bad player. I think he's a good player. That's the whole point.
I'll say I'm closer to thinking he is not a good player.
I don't think so. I think he's not a top two defenseman. We know that. But I think he's a good player. I think he can be a 3-4 guy. But with Ristolainen, it's a couple of things. And the main thing is, for those that are saying, why do you guys want to trade him? All right, let me ask you, I would answer this with a question. Do the Sabres need to get better?
Yep.
Do they need to get, like, top two line players, right? Yep. Who are you giving up to get some of these guys? What do you want them to? Well, are you trading the rights to Larson and Gergensen's?
Wait and get rid of all the other guys that aren't that good and signs free agency. I mean, if you don't have to give up Jack Eichel. You don't have to give up Rasmus Dahlin. So if you are a fan of Ristolainen, you would say, don't give up Ristolainen. I think he's really good.
Okay, but then I would tell you to get this team better, which they have to do significantly, who's going out? What's the return on, I don't know, you're trading the rights to Jake McCabe? What's the return on, I suppose most Sabre fans right now would not want to trade Sam Reinhart after last season. So who's going out that's going to get you something significant in return? You have to give up something good if you want to get something good.
Right.
Unless you work a trade where you fleece somebody.
Or you take on a bad contract, right?
As part of it, right.
Yeah, but
maybe you trade with Vegas and take on David Clarkson's one-year $5 million contract.
But my rationale for trading Ristolainen is simply this. He's not good enough at the things that matter the most. And I want other teams that think those things matter to give me something for him because I don't think that they matter enough. Playing with an edge doesn't matter enough to me. What else does he do really well? He is tall and big,
he's big,
right-handed and hits. Not important
enough
to me.
And he can skate. I mean, it's not like he's lumbering. He can get up ice. He can get you points. He can play on the power play. He's a 40-point defenseman.
He is. You know how many points Mark Giordano had last year?
Oh, I don't know. 70?
74.
Okay.
70. You know, 40 points is no longer a measuring stick for what's really good. Mm-hmm. Giordano's previous career high was 56. So, I mean, Risto puts up the number of points that, you know, guys sometimes put up. If Dahlin spends his entire career putting up 40 points, that's going to be well below what
should
have happened.
Sure. Didn't he get 40 last year?
Yeah, I think so.
He should do more than that.
For sure. He should be up by the time he's in his prime. He should be into the 70s and 80s, just like Erik Karlsson. That's who's expected to be. He had 44 points as a rookie. And I think about Ristolainen, that was one of the things that when Matthew Collar used to work with us, he would say, guys don't get 40 points as a rookie in this league. Yeah. So for Ristolainen to have done that is impressive. Well, he's never gone above 45, right? In his first full season with the Sabres, he had 20 points, then 41. And since 2015-16, 39, 35, 38.
Yeah.
You know, like he was on those two teams that tanked, and since then he's been pretty much the same guy for 4 years. If you look at his ice time, it's probably way higher than it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, if you want to drop his ice time from 25 minutes a game to 20 minutes a game, I hope you're prepared to drop his point production from 40 to about 30.
Well, I think that's some of the discussion of Ristolainen. When we talk about Rasmus, inevitably someone will always talk about how you've got to protect him, you've got to watch his minutes. He can't be a top two guy. You don't play him against the team's opposing top line. You know, in the right system, Ristolainen will flourish. With the right structure, Ristolainen will flourish. Nobody says that about Dahlin.
No.
So I think if you start putting in qualifiers, then you know, obviously, there are flaws to this particular player. But in this case with Ristolainen, we see flaws, and apparently around the league, you know, if you believe Pierre LeBrun, who's pretty tuned in the NHL, Ristolainen could be the top trade target amongst right-handed shooting defensemen. Okay, if that's the case, you should get multiple teams interested and good value in return for a trade there.
Rasmus Dahlin last year, and I would say a little bit of this whole conversation is watching Dahlin made me realize what everyone's waiting for Risto to be that he won't ever be. Rasmus Dahlin had 20 even strength assists last year. Last year was the first time that Ristolainen did that. It's in his sixth year.
Okay.
Dahlin did it as an 18-year-old.
Right.
Ristolainen, 22 even strength assists. And every other season, you know, even the three before this last one with Bielsma, 15, 14, 13 under Housley, and then 22 last year. So it is best year at even strength when it comes to that. But he also had his worst in terms of how many times he was on the ice for goals, which the defensive system probably hasn't been his fault. I don't lay it all at his feet.
Sure.
I don't say he could be completely worthless, but I just don't think he's good enough at the things that are important.
Yeah, but
or at least important to me.
But whether we're right or wrong, there is a, I want to say perception, there's a belief around the NHL that he is of value, that he is a top four defenseman, that he is only 24. He's got term left, 3 years. The contract is not obscene at with a 5.4 cap number. You know, Trouba's probably going to get 7.5. We'll see what Alexander Edler's apparently signing in Vancouver, staying with Vancouver. We'll see what he gets. They're talking about Tyler Myers on the open market getting $7 or $8 million. So Ristolainen at 5.4 is a contract you can absolutely stomach if you're an NHL GM. So I think there are enough reasons to say, you know, I don't think Batra will have a problem if indeed he does want to trade Rasmus Ristolainen. And then my biggest problem, my biggest issue with this again is, for those of you who want the team to get better via the trade market, what else are you giving up? Who is your best chip? What do you do after that? There's not, outside of the guys that aren't going anywhere, Eichel, Dahlin, Skinner, maybe Reinhardt.
Your best chip might be the seventh pick. Want to do that instead? I mean, you can make an argument for that.
Okay. I mean, I'm open. You make this team better now, fine. I'd love to have the seventh pick on some of these talented players that we've been hearing from the draft experts about, but I need this team to be better now. I don't worry as much about 1 or 2 years down the road because we're all tired of waiting for this team to actually compete for a playoff spot. And they need improvement right away. They need more skill. They need more scoring. They need to add multiple players to their four lines of forwards. So you want to move the pick? I'm not married to the pick. I'm not married to any picks.
I'd like to keep the seventh pick.
Well, yeah, but I mean, tell me what the offer is.
Yeah, right, exactly. If it's
if I know who it is, then I'll be more willing to sign off on it.
If we'll give you William Nylander, then okay, I might be interested in that.
Okay, that makes my forward ranks immediately better. And the guy you're going to take, probably a forward, might be here next season.
It might not be worth it because of, you know, how cheap the seventh pick is. But whatever.
Oh, okay. As opposed to Nylander's contract?
I was just going for, give me an established player. Right. And I was like, well, all right. Maybe I'm listening. So I got a quick tweet here from Anthony. He says, I want Risto traded, but what did Tampa need on their back end? Some bite. How did St. Louis beat Boston? Their D wore them down. These are the arguments I hear a lot. You do hear that a lot. Hockey does this more than any other sport, I think. Look at the teams that finished in the final. Right. What do they have? I mean, how many teams were capable of winning the Stanley Cup? The answer is 10? 8? I mean, were the Sharks capable? All they needed was a goalie. How much bite do they have?
Right.
Not much. The Carolina Hurricanes got to the conference finals, then they got swept. Toronto lost to Boston in 7 games because their goalie let them down.
Yeah. So the Boston team with the balance, and that's the model you want to have, almost lost in the first round.
Tampa Bay.
Actually, they were down 3-2 going to Toronto in that series, right?
That ends up being a late goal in Game 6, maybe. Tampa Bay, we talked to Brian Engblom yesterday. Tampa, to me, is like, think about Washington. All the years that Washington came up short and then won the cup, that they got.
They weren't
more
built
bite.
For the playoffs. They weren't nasty enough.
Sometimes you just don't win it, and the answer is, just run it back. Let's run this back again. If you're Tampa, I don't think that they should have any sort of crisis at all. They have the MVP. They have the Vezina winner. They have incredibly undervalued players like Braden Point and, you know, whether it's Stamkos or just up and down the lineup. Why is Tampa really good? Because they have four lines. I mean, they lost a series. There's a very weird thing happened, and Columbus won. I mean, if that sends Tampa into a tailspin about their identity, then they're probably going to, you know, enter the world of the Pittsburgh Penguins, who went from winning cups to deciding we got to get tougher and then having a terrible season.
But you can understand that concept, but not, I'll use the word overreact, because Pierre LeBrun from TSN, he had a piece the other day. It was in that piece where he talked about the Sabres in Tampa talking about Ristolainen. And he interviewed Julien Brisebois, the GM of the Tampa Bay Lightning. He brought up this exact point with Brisebois. Like the perception that you guys are loaded with skill, but you need to get a little edge. You need to get a little tougher, bite, as you called it, right? And Brisebois had a great comment. I don't have it in front of me. He said, he lent some credence to it, but said, quote, you can't overreact to this stuff. People are talking about Boston and St. Louis. It's a copycat league.
Yep.
When a team wins a championship, you tend to look at it and go, oh, that's what we have to do.
And maybe,
but he said, let's not overreact to that.
Maybe that's why Risto is their perfect idea. Because he's got a little bit of bite, but you can also make the case that he has skill. He has ability. I mean, he walks Brent Burns on that crazy goal. And he's scored some highlight reel goals. He's shown some ability to score. I mean,
he's not a 6'4", 240-pound defenseman who stays at home and knocks people down.
He
can skate. He can get up ice. But I like what Brisebois said about don't overreact just because a certain team won a cup, and now you think you have to build your team that way.
Risto's career high in goals is 9. How many Dahlin score last year?
How many?
9.
Okay.
Last year, Risto had 5. So maybe that's why he's perfect for them. Maybe they decide we need this number of puck movers. And it might have been instigators yesterday talking about, what if they put Ristolainen with Victor Hedman?
Mm-hmm.
What a pairing that would be. Yeah. Hedman and just about anybody is one heck of a pairing.
Well, they put Sergachev with Hedman for 10 games last year because of injuries. Sergachev moved up to the top pairing, and he played really well. You know, I think if they, again, reading the piece with Brisebois, it sounds like if they got Ristolainen down there, I think they'd prefer Hedman and McDonough as their top pairing, and then Ristolainen would be in the second pairing, which is probably the right spot for him. and he doesn't have to be getting, you know, he doesn't have to get top pair minutes, and he can be in a more comfortable situation as a 3-4 guy down there. It would seem to be a really good fit for him and for Tampa Bay.
Maybe.
Which seems to make sense.
Maybe he would do the things that I still think are not that important.
Yeah.
He'll be not good enough at the things that matter the most, which is breaking the puck out and playing in transition. That's one thing that he's not very good at now. Maybe he's not very good at that because Phil Housley was terrible at that. So maybe I will fully admit that 2 years of watching Phil Housley coach a team probably did some damage to a lot of players, but it didn't do any to Dahlin last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he had some issues with some turnovers every now and then, but Dahlin, you know, how many times did you look at Dahlin and wonder about decision-making? You know, what's he doing? What's he thinking? Why is he over there? You know, why did he take himself out of the play? I mean, fundamentally, he seemed pretty sound as an 18-year-old defenseman in the NHL, as opposed to, you know, the 24-year-old guy, or even some of the other guys. You know, name a Sabres defenseman, and odds are we're talking about a number of instances where they looked lost in their own end. I thought that, you know, Dahlin coming in as an 18-year-older looked like he had an idea what he was doing. And I think that's part of the discussion with Ristolainen. And I think also with Ristolainen, while people will look at the edge to his game or the physical side of his game, there are times when he thinks so much about the hit. I know the Florida game is the shining example, but there are times where he thinks so much about the hit, he takes himself out of the play and puts himself in a bad position. So, as I said, I think there's always the discussion here that, you know, when you're losing for a while, let's get rid of this player. He's good, but all we've known is losing, so trade him. I look at this more about there's value on this guy, believed to be value around the league. That's the best chip. Trade him. I think you have defensive depth. Maybe Bottrell makes a series of deals this offseason and brings a defenseman back at some point to go with Dahlin, Montour, McKay, Bogosian, Pilot, whoever's here next season. I just don't know if you're Jason Bottrell and you're performing roster surgery. I have no idea how to do it of significance without trading Rasmus Ristolainen. That's, to me, what it really gets down to. Unless you find organizations that covet guys in Rochester.
Seventh pick and Mittelstadt would probably get you some pretty nice stuff.
Yeah, and I just think, I don't think Bottrell would want to part with Mittelstadt based on one season struggling in his first full year in the NHL.
Meanwhile, the most interesting thing going, in my opinion, is Marner. I logged on Twitter this morning like I always do, wake up, see if anybody's been traded, and right away in the moments section of Twitter was speculation about Mitch Marner sends Leafs fans into meltdown.
Yay! Oh, I like Leafs fans in meltdown. It's really entertaining.
It's really pretty great. They're melting down. They're yelling at each other, which we usually do. They're yelling at each other, and they're debating whether or not Mitch Marner loves Toronto enough. He's losing fans.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, right?
Now he doesn't love Toronto?
Now he doesn't love what? No.
He would only love it if he takes, what, $6 million a year?
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think we said it months ago. You know, in terms of the offseason stories, the Leafs are maybe the most fascinating offseason story in the NHL.
So he's a hometown kid that should just sign for less money. The other take is that the other hometown kid, John Tavares, shouldn't have been signed.
Oh, is that
because he makes too much.
Maybe he can give some to Marner.
I would think the Leafs should just go ahead and sign him, match any offer sheet that comes their way. I would think they would. I think they would, and they should.
Yeah.
And then they maybe have to move Kadri, Kapanen, Nylander, who knows
Johnson.
Who it might be.
You would think one of those two young guys is not going to be re-signed.
But the story is that Marner's camp believes an offer sheet will come.
From where?
There's also the point about offer sheets, which, I mean, I'm not about to stop talking about them. They could easily have an offer sheet from the Islanders that they don't sign. Right? They could take it to the Leafs and say, here's the offer sheet. I will sign this.
Right.
You can just go ahead and match it instead,
right,
and you'll look better.
That's the deal I want.
This is the deal. This is the best deal I've been offered.
Yep.
If you don't offer me this deal, I will sign it. I will force your hand. You want to go through
to match it anyway.
Right. You want to go through that process, or do you just want to put the pen to paper and take credit that you guys came up with this number?
Sure. I mean, I don't know why that maybe hasn't happened more often. At the very least, use the offer sheet as a way to, you know, light a little fire under the team, you know, to basically force them to get the contract talks going in a way where you want the final numbers to be. Lionel tweeted in on Risto. Yeah, trade him. Trading away talent. These are the same people that want to trade for... I mixed two tweets. Sorry. Yeah, trading away talent always works out well for the Sabres. Besides, Mike Schope says we should do that. End all discussions. Lionel, I will tell you the same thing. That you're the tweet I'm getting, okay? You're trying to get talent back. Do you trade non-talented players for someone's talented player. What are you giving up?
Gergensen's for McDavid.
There you go. Done. Let's go.
You know, I think they should do that when it, I mean,
but these are the people who, and no offense, Lyon, I'm not trying to, but this is the tweet I'm getting. You know, if you think the Sabres need to add talent, what are you giving up to get it? You're not going to give up your garbage for the, unless you can pull like Cliff Poo and picks for Jeff Skinner and keep a guy with 1 year left on his contract. You're going to have to give up something that hurts.
I don't think it will hurt. That's the big.
Well, that's your value.
That's the big split on him. Yeah. Some people don't think he's even worth keeping, which I would be in that camp. I have been firmly convinced that this is a player that's not good enough at the things that matter, but other teams think those things matter. Find one of them. Find a bad GM and deal with them. And you also have to hope that your GM isn't one of the bad ones. But I'll say this: if the Sabres do trade Ristolainen, there's a quick disclaimer: we didn't trade him. The Sabres did, right?
Yeah.
We aren't running him out of town. The Sabres hold this decision. The rumors about Ristolainen that are out there because they are shopping him.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's
something about O'Reilly.
There's a little bit of this to O'Reilly, which is, looks like they're going to do this. Let's talk about how it can work for them.
Right.
And in O'Reilly's case, it definitely didn't. There was a much, much better case to be made that they shouldn't trade O'Reilly than they shouldn't trade Risto. Because they do have their number one defenseman. You know, how will they replace Ristolainen? I don't know. I'm not too worried about it. How do they replace O'Reilly? Well, we might be talking about that for a couple of years.
803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-552-550.
Putting together a game for you. Yeah, the Bills media guide came out, and it's just chock full of fun information. So I hope you're ready for that.
I am always ready for that.
Games. Who doesn't like games?
So I put out a Twitter poll, which is why I'm getting all these tweet responses. Should the Sabres trade Rasmus Ristolainen? Yes. He's a good chip. No, you keep good talent. You can let us know. The draft is coming up tomorrow and Saturday. We've got you covered here on WGR. Tomorrow, it's round one, coverage from 7 to 11, anchored by Brayton and Joe DiBiase. Paul Hamilton of Hamilton is making his way to Vancouver today after covering the awards in Vegas last night. Paul will join the draft coverage as well. Saturday, it is rounds 2 through 7. Coverage begins at 11 o'clock Saturday morning on WGR. Coverage of the draft and free agency brought to you by Fiegel & Carr, your border attorneys. By Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
He's got the potential. I mean, there's everything there that you'd want in a top two guy. There's also that mean streak that unfortunately isn't as consistent as people would like, but he is one of those special defensemen that they don't come around very often. But right now, when you look at the lack of success in the organization over the last few years, you know, it's been stymied. Now, can Ralph come in and help and communicate and change all that? I think the Buffalo Sabres may be willing to take a look at that and maybe hold off on anything at this point might be knee-jerk reaction.
This is Nick Kiprios from Sportsnet. He was on with us yesterday, talked a lot of different hockey stories, but that specifically was about Rasmus Ristolainen and the idea of the Sabres trading the defenseman. If you missed the interview, it's available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. The NHL held its awards ceremony last night. Nikita Kucherov won the Hart, the Norris to Mark Giordano, the Vezina, Andrei Vasilevsky, the Calder to Elias Pettersson. Rasmus Dahlin finished third in the Calder. He did earn a spot on the NHL's all-rookie team. We have coverage of the awards from Paul Hamilton at WGR550.com. Former Sabre Ryan O'Reilly won the Selke, and former Sabre Robin Leonard won the Masterton. The Sabres have qualified some of their restricted free agents, Johan Larson, Zemgus Girgensons, Jake McCabe, Linus Ullmark, CJ Smith. Anaheim buys out the contract of Corey Perry, and Jesse Puljujärvi reportedly has told the Oilers he wants a trade or he'll go play in Russia. The Bills and Carolina will hold joint practices August 13th and 14th in South Carolina. The NBA draft is tonight. Zion Williamson expected to go number one to the New Orleans Pelicans, and Memphis traded Mike Conley to the Utah Jazz. Baseball, the Yanks beat Tampa. Jays lost to the Angels. The Mets lost to Atlanta. The Bisons beat Indianapolis. 105 game today, weather permitting, for the Bisons downtown. Your headlines brought to you by Lenco. Are you in the know? Go Lenco. Lenco Lumba.
You did miss a few. I listed these accomplices last night in the headlines. Big news is Ryan O'Reilly has qualified for the British Open. Could add another trophy in a few short weeks in the Open Championship.
I think it's...
Also, O'Reilly declared eligible and will play at Wimbledon. His great year keeps getting better. And also, he's going to compete this September in the World Surfing Games in Japan. O'Reilly is.
How's he going to
find trophies
time
keep
for
piling
all
up. You're going to appreciate this one. Yeah. WWE has declared he's an additional Mr. Money in the Bank.
Oh, and hello.
He's getting a title shot.
MITB.
One more. Yeah, that's right. He's going to run in the Breeders' Cup. So a good year keeps getting better for Mr. Ryan O'Reilly.
So he's going to be a horseless jockey?
It would be really fun, by the way, if the NFL decided that one professional athlete was also Mr. Money in the Bank.
Hmm.
All of a sudden, who's that? Dwight Howard. He's here.
He's a wild. He just shows up whenever he wants.
It could be anybody. You're on tour. And you're the WWE, you're in Memphis on some given night. And maybe
Money the Bank guy's an athlete? Relevant to that town.
Well, there could just be one.
Okay.
But you just never know. Maybe that team's traveling. You know, you'd be in Memphis and be like, well, the Pelicans are in town. And Zion is Mr. Money in the Bank.
Hmm.
I wonder if he'll show up.
Okay.
And just, you know, win the title.
You might be onto something. I was thinking if when WWE comes to Buffalo, like all of a sudden Jack Eichel would be
He's Mr. Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank guy for that town. I think you're confused. Those probably are not the same Ryan O'Reilly.
I think Ryan O'Reilly is also a good competitor to beat Joey Chestnut in the hot dog eating competition.
He's in everything.
Yeah.
Dude's going to be tired.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to need, he's not going to play next season. He'll be exhausted from all this stuff.
He's going to be more hangover? Exhausted than Alex Ovechkin was after this past, or the last Stanley Cup.
Did I see, was it a picture of O'Reilly I saw hanging out on the red carpet with the cup last night?
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Yeah, yep. That's cool.
He was posing with four trophies. What's the fourth one here?
Conn Smythe, Selke, Stanley Cup, and Best Dressed.
Nick Kotsanika tweeted out a picture. There's four trophies. I just don't recognize the fourth one.
Hmm.
Oh, it must have been the Western Conference, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But now are they allowed to touch that one?
I know, right.
Or maybe he still doesn't. Somebody else has to carry it for him.
GM of the year was Don Sweeney.
Bruins, right.
Yeah. Well,
you said that
I told
yesterday,
you. It's
going right?
to be one of the final four. That's when they
right.
vote.
Right. And Barry Trotz wins coach of the year for the second time in his career. So congratulations on what he did with the Islanders.
A coach that, you know,
and the Islanders,
was available last year.
The Islanders, for those of you who, you know, when we get down and go, when are the Sabres going to be good? For what it's worth, the last 2 years, you've had two really quick turnaround stories. 2 years ago, it was the Devils, and then they took a step back last year. And then last year, the Islanders, who would, you know, you lose your best player and you jump up, what was it, 20-something points? I forget what the final number was. You lose your best player and you're in the playoffs.
Get a good coach, really good coach.
Put in a good system, good structure. The Jennings Trophy went to Leonard and Thomas Greiss last night.
Yeah, you get a surprise in net, too. His next contract, Leonard's next contract, is very interesting. What happens?
Is he unrestricted
he
now?
He is. They signed him to a one-year, $1.5 million contract.
Yeah.
And he was a finalist for the Vezina. I don't think he's going to get a five-year, $25 million deal. It wouldn't surprise me if it's 2 years.
Shorter deal, lower money.
Yeah, I mean,
how not much, even five. How I mean, much, I'd be very careful how much I would pay. I mean, Robin.
I'm saying this with nothing to do with his
struggles. I was going to say that, too. I didn't mean that from a standpoint of where is his head at mentally.
Any goalie that had had a few years and then has one really incredible year. While your team has, like, the backup, Thomas Greiss had a great year, too.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was good.
I'm the Islanders, aren't I looking at it and saying, if I just keep finding competent goalies for cheap, my system will allow them to perform at a higher level.
Sure.
This might be, if I'm the Islanders, how I exploit the goaltender market. And I never pay a guy more than four, right? Because I think Greiss was making about three.
Is he?
Okay. And you just keep it low and spend your money elsewhere. How can you afford Mitch Marner on the offer sheet you're going to sign him to, if you do, by keeping your goalies low?
Yeah, so, I don't think with Leonard, although, you know, I was going to say, with Leonard, the story on Leonard before the stories about his mental illness came out was that he was always considered in Ottawa, and when Tim Murray made the trade here, he always considered talented goalie, but he could never hang on to the number one job for whatever reason. Sometimes it was injuries. Sometimes it was inconsistent play. Now, what I don't know is, in Ottawa, was he dealing with the same stuff he was dealing with here? And maybe now the story on Leonard is that he's figured everything out. He's gotten healthy. He's you know, won the battle, so to speak, that he's now going to be that goalie last year. But I think there's always the larger discussion of how much do you want to pay a goalie? And how much would you want to commit to that position when you know, sure, Barry Trotz can put together a really strong defensive structure and you don't have to pay a ton of money to a goaltender. So I wouldn't go crazy with a Leonard contract.
How does the Marner stuff hit you? The fact that, you know, you hear this a lot. This is now not just Marner, but I was listening to the Instigators yesterday, them talking about how, you know, is so-and-so worth $9 million? Is Kevin Hayes worth $9 million? Is
I think
Jeff
we have
Skinner,
to stop having the worth it discussions.
I absolutely agree.
No one's, the way the salaries have gone, no one is going to say yes. I mean, we shouldn't even be. Was Skinner worth $9 million to this team? Yes.
Well,
we need to stop. No one is ever going to be worth it in a lot of fans' thoughts. $7, $8, $9 million. I don't think Hayes is worth $7 million a year because
agree.
Of a 55-point season last year, but this is how the business works.
Right, but when you say he's not worth seven, what's he worth?
I don't know, right.
Five? What if the salary cap is $120 million? Is he still worth five? Well, no, in that case, you're worth what you get paid.
Right, and he is getting what the market is giving you right now. That's why the Skinner contract, to me, I know people were getting nuts about $9 million. Well, again, you know, if you get 55, 60 points in this league, you're getting $7 million.
Right. And if you want to play poker, you better,
he was 40 goals.
You better,
sorry,
pay. Yeah. Like, it all just sounds, this is our conversation with Craig Button the other day. It sounds like he just doesn't want to pay anybody. And it's a very easy place to live to say, that guy's not worth that, you're not worth that, he's not worth that, he's not worth that.
Yeah.
Where's your team? Who's on your team? If your job is deciding that players aren't worth big contracts, you'll never have any good players. Is Austin Matthews worth 11? Definitely. Is Mitch Marner? 100% yes. Is Kevin Hayes worth 7? Yes. They all are worth it because that's what they get paid. And I know that can be an easy thing to say too, but it just seems like with hockey more than anything, I mean, is Mitch Morse worth $11 million a year to the Bills? I don't know. Probably not. You could probably draft a center, but they signed him because that's what you do. You have to pay for some players to come to your team. So I get a little bit, I don't know, sensitive is not the right word, but I get a little bit bothered by nobody's worth anything. Well, okay, well, I want to have a team, so I'm going to have to start paying players. I have to pay Jack Eichel $10 million. Is Rasmus Dahlin worth $9 million to the Sabres? Yeah. And he's probably worth $20 million to the Sabres. Like, just the consistent talking about hockey players like they're not worth it, to me, is, I don't know, it smacks as always blaming players. And the flack that Marner's catching for trying to get what he's worth, he's a jerk. Look at him making himself bigger than the team. Why is everybody, not everybody, but why do people side with the team here? I used to be one of the people that would side with the team and say, let him sit out. Why are we siding with teams? He's the best hockey players in the world. The market can dictate that they can get it. The salaries are determined by revenue. So as much as they keep raising ticket prices and more revenue keeps coming in and they keep having expansion fees, that's what determines the salaries, is revenue. So if revenue continues to go up, then the players are worth that. That's the nature of the CBA.
With Marner, if I were Toronto, if I were a Leaf fan, I would be telling my team not to Nylander this.
Yeah,
don't drag this out. Let's just get this guy done. I mean, Nylander's season was somewhat washed out by the fact that he was late coming in.
This also is happening with Anthony Davis with LA. He's got some clause he can waive, and it costs him $4 million. Mm-hmm. And the question is, why isn't he doing that?
Which I believe would allow them to do a max contract. Yeah. That would open up space.
Why doesn't he just give up $4 million?
Mm-hmm.
Why should he?
Right.
Because he's part of a team?
I think with Marner, for me, if I were the Leafs, it's not about he's going to get a ton of money. It's term. What are you doing? Are you doing 2 years? Are you doing the max deal? Are you doing the Matthews deal? Is the Matthews deal now setting a precedent for those young stars that you're going to go in between? Between the bridge, in between the 8-year max for keeping your own player, you're going to go 5-year contract. To me, it's term with
that
Marner.
Might be the biggest sticking point. Maybe Marner wants 4 years.
Right.
And the Leafs want, no, we'll pay you that salary, but it's got to be 8.
Right.
And he doesn't want to do that because he wants to get to another contract.
Or a little
sooner.
Bit further into UFA time, right?
Right.
I assume four takes him right up to it.
If you sign for $10 million today, how much are you worth in 4 years? Is it 15?
Where's the cap? Where are the salaries?
Right, look at McKinnon, who signed for six something.
Mm-hmm.
4 years later, what would he get today?
Right.
12?
Right. Well, how many $10 million a year players were here 5 years ago?
None.
And what happened?
Weren't Kane and Taves?
Taves and Kane wouldn't have gotten that yet.
I think they were the first two.
Right, and now look, there's 10. So
maybe
who knows
it would have been Carey Price or... Not quite sure who was first.
But who knows where the salaries are going to go in the next 5 years. That's why I think Marner's going to get paid a huge salary. To me, like I said, I think to me the sticking point would be how long's the contract? What do the Leafs want to do? What does Marner want? And how do you get some kind of an agreement on term? Knowing that if there is an offer sheet, I would be almost 100% certain the Leafs are going to match it. And the Leafs were a team that's thinking Stanley Cup next season. I wouldn't want to screw around and have Marner be showing up at Christmas. So get it done if you're the Leafs, if you're a Leaf fan. It's not like they can't. They do have the money. They do have the financial wherewithal. It provides cap issues for them, and maybe it means you're not re-signing Gardner, and maybe you're going to have to trade Zaitsev, and perhaps you won't match an offer sheet if there is one for Kapanen or Janssen. But I just think if you're the Leafs, you can't screw around with this. But I think the sticking point would be term. He's going to make whatever, 9, 10, 10 and a half. He's going to make big money. It's a question of how long.
There's a tweet from J.D. Bunkus from the Fan 590. And he wrote, I'm all for people getting paid with their worth. This is about Marner. But did he not watch the Raptors parade and think of what it would be like for the Leafs? Dude is losing fan support and waiting on an offer sheet. Most fans now want to come, but most rational people know won't. What Toronto fan wants this offer sheet to come? Why in the world would a Toronto fan want that?
Well, the only thing you would say, I would assume is you know the deal's going to get done. If you
True.
Think they're not going to match, they're going to match no matter what, at least you know he's under contract, he'll be at camp on time.
Right, that's true.
Offer sheet provides finality. You know, it means there won't be a problem.
You have the right of first refusal.
Yeah,
there.
So you match it. You might be more than you want to pay the guy, but at least you know, done. Now we got to figure out how to make all this fit. So, but you know, the whole, does he, you know, so if you're Marner, so, you know, Tavares got a ton on the free market. So, because of that, and because of what Matthews got, and because of what Nylander got, now Marner's got to take $3 million less? I mean, that's just not how it works. If his agent tells him that, his agent should be fired. You go with what your value is. You get one career. You strike when it's hot, and he's hot right now. So it's not his fault that they paid Tavares what they paid Tavares on the free market and gave the money they gave to some of these other guys on their roster.
What if Jason Botterill
really? Okay.
Is secretly plotting to offer sheet Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
I'm serious. What if he is?
Hello. Okay. Great.
No, I don't think it's going to happen.
No, it would take up half the cap left. 803-0550 to join us, WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's June 20th. I got 5 days left to be in my 30s.
Tomorrow's the first day, right? Tomorrow, first day of summer?
First day of summer, yeah.
So we celebrate by a Noah's Ark day today.
Okay, a lot of rain.
Downpour.
Miro Shetan tweeted yesterday about no goal. Gotta love to see that.
Yeah.
Right? Don't you?
Yeah. I've moved on. I'm fine from it.
Happy birthday to Martin Landau.
Is he still alive?
I'll mention names. You just go ahead and give me anybody that hits.
Can we do alive or dead? Is Martin Landau still alive?
I don't know.
I feel like
happy birthday, Bob Vila.
OK. Okay, I know who he is.
Lionel Richie.
Sure.
John Goodman.
Sure, I love John Goodman. Nope, Martin Landau died in 2017.
Okay. Nicole Kidman.
Sorry.
Been watching her a lot these days in Big Little Lies.
Okay. Is that a Netflix thing?
It's a HBO thing.
HBO thing, okay.
Who else? Darren Sproles. Got some sports. Matt Flynn.
Great quarterback.
Terrell Pryor. Sam Bennett. Javier Pastore.
Don't know who that is.
The soccer player.
Okay.
There you go. Happy birthday to all those people.
Not a great group of names. Just an okay group of names today. We're talking some hockey today, of course, with everything going on this week. Should the Sabres trade Rasmus Ristolainen? Put up a web poll, WGR550.com. It's a Twitter poll that I put up this morning as well. Getting a lot of tweets on that. Steve tweeted in, I'm hearing a lot of regrets in trading Ryan O'Reilly and Leonard. Do we hear the same thing on Ristolainen? I don't regret the Leonard. Leonard was not a trade. Well, the trade coming in, right. That was a bad idea, giving up a first-round pick for a goalie.
Yeah, I don't regret letting Leonard walk.
I'm not sure if you meant...
He's not a Vezina finalist here.
I don't know if you meant coming in, going out, but he wasn't traded. They just did not pick up his... They didn't tender him, right, the RFA. I don't regret moving on from Leonard. The Ryan O'Reilly trade we regret basically because your return amounted to next to nothing at this point. If they got something back of note, for example, like I said the other day, let's say Skinner came back in an O'Reilly trade. You wouldn't regret it as much if you got a 40-goal scorer out of that trade. But you got Bupkis. So, of course, I don't. That's not why. And I would not hesitate to trade Ristolainen based on, well, we got killed in the O'Reilly deal. Well, he fleeced Carolina in the Skinner trade. So, whatever. You make the trade. You think if it's good for your team.
Yeah, the only thing, think about any trade. You only regret it if you lost it. Doesn't matter who you trade.
Right.
Oilers trade Gretzky. Did they lose the trade or did they win the trade? You know, you could say, well, you traded Gretzky. But if you won it and you became better as a result, no matter who it is, it's if the Sabres trade Jack Eichel, I'll be furious.
Yes, that would not go over
but if
well.
They won the trade.
Well, how would you win an Eichel trade?
Who knows?
Yeah.
But if you won it and it won the Stanley Cup next year, guess what would happen?
Great trade.
There'd be a parade.
Right, right. So that's why the regret on O'Reilly is not as much trading him as it was who came back and what did they contribute last
I would also
year.
Say it comes down to when you want to trade a guy, do you think you can win that trade? And with O'Reilly last year, it was not a slam dunk that everybody wanted him traded. It seems like they're going to do this. Mm-hmm. So we thought, can they win that trade? And I thought there were ways to win that trade. They didn't. I mean, I don't know what those ways were. We don't get a chance to talk to every team. But doesn't feel like they won that one.
803-0550 to join us. Get a lot of tweets on Ristolainen. We'd love to get your phone calls in, too. Grab a line and join us this morning. Coming up on the show, Paul Hamilton will join us at 8 o'clock this morning. We'll talk plenty of hockey with him. And the NBA draft is tonight. Later this morning around 9:30, Kyle Boone will join us from CBSSports.com. We'll talk about the NBA draft with him coming up on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.